This week's Parsha is Parsha's Boy. And in Parsha's Boy, we are going to have three plagues. As a matter of fact, the Baal Turim says that Boy is Gematria 3. The numerical value of the word Boy is 3. The base is 2. The Aleph is 1. Which means that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Paroi that he is going to get another three plagues. The three plagues are locust, darkness, and the death of the firstborn. But before we actually go to our shiur, we have to ask the question of the Barbanel. The Barbanel asks a question that we know from the Agoda, that the plagues that the Egyptians got in Egypt were divided in three groups. The three groups are the groups that Rav Yehuda gave simonim, that the Tzach, Adash, Bachav. The Tzach is the acronym of Dam Tzvardeya Kinim, of blood, frogs, and lice. Adash is the acronym of Orov Dever Shchin, of wild animals, pestilence, and boils. And Beachav is the acronym of Borod, Arba, Choshech, Makas Bechoires, hail, locust, darkness, and the death of the firstborn. Moreover, there is a certain symmetry between the groups. The first of each of these groups, meaning the plague of blood, the plague of wild animal, and the plague of hail, the warning to Pharaoh was given at the river Nile in the morning. The second of each of these groups, meaning the plague of frogs, the plague of pestilence, and the plague of locust, was given to Paroi at the palace, and there was never a warning for the third plague of each series. Also, before each one of the groups, we mentioned last week from the Chasam Sofer, there was a message what the group came to teach you. The Barbanel asks a question, why did the Mesorah tell us to break the Parsha specifically in the middle of Be'achav? We should have put Borot, the mark of hail, together in this Parsha. In other words, boy, really, this Parsha should really start before the plague of hail, because this is all one grouping. Be'achav is really one grouping. Then his question is, what was the idea behind of putting just the last three plagues together when technically the last four plagues are together? And he explains that the last three plagues have one common theme, and therefore they were put together. What is the common theme of the last three plagues? He explains that the common theme of the last three plagues is the idea of darkness. On chapter 10, Pasuk number 15 says, Vayechas es ein kol ha'aretz, and it covered the eye of the land, the surface of the entire land, Vatechshach ha'aretz, and the land was darkened. So you see that the plague of locusts, because of so many grasshoppers, caused darkness to come on the land. And the mark of darkness, we know clearly it's darkness. And he says in the death of firstborn, whenever somebody dies, it's also considered darkness, as the pasuk in Eicha, chapter 3, pasuk number 6 says, Bemachshaki moshivani, you have placed me in darkness, kemesi oilom, like the eternally dead. Since these three plagues, locust, darkness, and the death of the firstborn, have one thing in common, darkness, and to specifically emphasize this point, that's why the Rabbanel says the Mesorah wanted to separate them into a separate parsha, not to include them together with the plague of hail, since the plague of hail lacked this quality of darkness, therefore it was written separate. Going back to the Baal HaTurim that we mentioned in the beginning of the Parsha, that it says, Boy El Paroi, come to Paroi, and numerical value of Boy, the Baal HaTurim says, is 3, since base is a 2, Aleph is 1, that's 3, and it's alluding to that it's going to be another 3 plagues before we leave Egypt. But unfortunately, this is not the first time that it's written the term Boy El Paroi. On Parshas Vaera, chapter 7, Pasuk 26, before the plague of frogs, there it's also written, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe, Boy al Paroi, come to Paroi, and there it is the second plague, and we are going to have another 9 plagues to go. And it's also written the term boy, which you can say there, it's numerical value 3, because what is the point of having a numerical value 3 there? Obviously, the Baal HaTurim knew of that pasuk, and he must have had a Mesorah specifically on our pasuk in beginning of our parsha, that it was made to darshan that boy means 3. And now we will start the shir of this week, which is in the beginning of Parshas Boy, pasuk number 1 and 2. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hashem tells to Moshe, Boy el Paroi, come to Paroi, ki ani ichbadti esli boy, because I have hardened his heart, veslev avodov, and the heart of his slaves, leman shisi oisoisai, so that I may place my signs, eila dis, bekirbo, inside him. The second pasuk, uleman tesaper, and so that you may tell, beozne bincho, in the ears of your children, uven bincho, and your grandchild, eisa she salalti bemitzrayim, that I have made a mockery in Egypt. And we're translating isalalti according to Rashi. Rashi said the word isalalti means sochakti, I made sport of, I made fun of, I made a mockery of. Vesoisoisai, and my signs, ashesamti bom, that I put in them, vidatem, that you may know, who is you, we'll figure out soon, ki ani Hashem, that I am Hashem. We will focus our shir on what is written, that you should tell your children and grandchildren, that I made a mockery or amused myself with the Egyptians. What does it mean that Hashem made a mockery in Egypt? And what is that talking about? So the simple answer we could say that there is no greater mockery than Hashem telling Paroi what he's going to do, that I'm going to send locusts, I'm going to send other plagues, and Paroi being impotent and not be able to do anything to prevent the plague from coming through, even if he decides to let the people go, Hashem took away that choice out of him. So basically Hashem is telling him, I'm going to send you the plague and you aren't going to be able to do anything to stop it. And the mockery is by knowing that you don't have a free will and you are going to receive this plague, then the person who is telling you that you have a choice is making fun of you since you don't have the choice. Mefarshim ask, if what we mentioned is true, that Hashem hardened the heart of Paroi, and Paroi now has no free will to send the Jewish people out, he's incapable of sending the people out because Hashem hardened his heart, then what is the purpose of having Moshe Rabbeinu come and warn Paroi that if he doesn't let the people go, Hashem will bring a plague? Paroi has no chance of sending the people out, so obviously the plague is going to come anyways. Then why bother sending Moshe Rabbeinu to Paroi to warn him? Just bring the plague. And after bringing the plague, the Torah could relate what happened, that Hashem brought 10 plagues of Egypt. Period. You don't have to say every time that Moshe Rabbeinu went to warn Paroi and Paroi didn't send. If we say now that in this instance, that after this point, Hashem already removed the free will of Paroi, then why bother giving him a message in advance about the plague that is going to come and warn him to let the people go? One of the answers we could say is going back to the question of the Evan Ezra on Parshas Vayigash. On Parshas Vayigash, we have the counting of the people that came down to Egypt. And if you count, everybody ends up being 69. It's missing one, because the Torah tells you that 70 souls came down to Egypt. And there the Gemara explains that Yocheved was born Bein HaChoymois, that Yocheved was born right when we crossed over to Egypt. Levi's wife was pregnant with Yocheved when they came down to Egypt. So technically she never left Canaan. There were only 69 people living in Canaan, but she was born right when we crossed over into Egypt. Then there is actually 70 souls in Egypt. Nonetheless, according to this Gemara, comes out that Yocheved was born right the first moment when we came into Egypt. We know Yocheved is Moshe Rabbeinu's mother. And we also know that Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old when he speaks to Paroi, as it's written on Parshas Vaera. So the question is the following. If she was born when we crossed over into Egypt, the times of Yaakov, and we were in Egypt for 210 years, and Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old when they left Egypt, ends up that she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu when she was 130 years old. Again, we were 210 years in Egypt. She was born as soon as we came to Egypt. And her son Moshe was 80 years old when you left Egypt. So if you take 210 minus 80, ends up being that she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu when she was 130 years old. Devon Ezra asks a question. How is it possible that Hashem will make such a miracle that a woman will give birth at the age of 130 and the Torah will totally ignore it? Sarah Imenu gave birth when she was 90 years old and the Torah makes a big deal out of it. Here we have Yocheved, which is 130 years old when she gives birth, and nothing is mentioned about it. On this question, there is actually at least three answers. One answer is that it's only a miracle if that is your first child. That if your first child is the age of 90, that is a true miracle. But true that Yocheved gave birth at the age of 130, but since this wasn't Yocheved's first child, then it's not considered a miracle. Before she asks a question, I understand this answer. How can you say that because Yocheved had a previous child, therefore it's not a miracle? The previous children that Yocheved had that we know is Miriam and Aharon. Miriam was the oldest, and Miriam was 5 years older than Moshe Rabbeinu. Then even if we say that giving birth to a child at the age of 130, since it's the third child, it's not a great miracle, but the miracle that she gave birth at the age of 125 to Miriam, that is definitely a miracle because Miriam was her first child. Then the Torah should have at least related the miracle that she gave birth for the first time to a child at the age of 125. And the answer is that true that Yocheved, we know for sure, gave birth to these three children. But according to one opinion in Daz HaKenim Balat Oisfes on chapter 11 of Bamidbar, Pasuk number 27, where there it discusses that we have to make a lottery to choose 70 elders. And afterwards it says that two people, Eldad and Medad, were prophesizing in the encampment. The Daz HaKenim brings an opinion that Eldad and Medad are Achi Moshe, they are brothers of Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, Yocheved had a previous husband, and that husband fathered two children called Eldad and Medad, and they were half-brothers of Moshe Rabbeinu. So according to this comes out, they must be older children than Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't know exactly what age they were born. Could be they were born at the age of 70 of Yocheved, of the age of 80 of Yocheved. We know that Miriam was born at the age of 125 and Moshe Rabbeinu at the age of 130. But we don't know exactly at what age Yocheved gave birth to Eldad and Medad. And could be that she gave birth before the age of 90, at the age of 70 or 80, and if she did give birth before the age of 90, then that answer that since it's not her first birth, then it's not such a great miracle, as we see even today, that women that have children at a younger age, they are able to give birth even at a later age, where in contrast, a woman who never gave birth, for her to have a child at that old age, would be considered miraculous. So it could be that since Yocheved had children at the age of 70, then she could go on having children up to the age of 130. But Sarah Imenu, since she never had a child till the age of 90, her having Yitzchak at the age of 90 was considered a great miracle. Therefore, the Torah wrote it down. The second answer Mefarshim gave is that once the miracle came through Sarah, that's possible for an old woman to give birth, then it's no big deal if another older woman gives birth. In other words, once Hashem brings that miracle down to this earth, that it's possible that the old woman to give birth, and that happened the first time by Sarah, now it's possible that any old woman is going to give birth, because that miracle is already here in the cosmos. And once Hashem changed nature in order to make this miracle that Sarah Imenu should be able to have a child, that change in nature already occurred, and now any old woman is able to have children, even though she's old and even though she's older than Sarah. Therefore, it's not a miracle anymore the fact that Yocheved gave birth at the age of 125 or 130. But the Ramban gives an answer, and that's the answer that we are going to use in our Parsha. The Ramban says that it's only called a miracle if a prophet first foretold it. If it's not foretold by a prophet, then Hashem makes a lot of miracles, but yet they're not worthy of being written. But if Hashem foretells a miracle and it comes true, then that miracle is written down. Therefore, by Sarah Imenu, since Hashem previously foretold that she is going to give birth at the age of 90, her giving birth at the age of 90 is considered a great miracle, and it's written down. But by Yocheved, nobody has foretold her that she is going to give birth at the age of 125 or the age of 130. And since Hashem makes a lot of miracles every day, and this miracle, even though it is a miracle, but because it was not foretold, is one of many miracles that Hashem does and is not recorded. Therefore, the miracle of Yocheved, since it was not foretold, it's not recorded. According to this, we could answer the question that we asked. We asked, what was the purpose for Moshe Rabbeinu to warn Paroi, even though Paroi did not have a free choice to send the Jewish people out and he was incapable of sending them out? Still, the purpose of Moshe Rabbeinu coming to warn Paroi is to foretell what plague is going to happen. Because if it is not foretold what plague is going to happen, then it is not recorded. The same way that the miracle of Yocheved giving birth, since it was not foretold, is not recorded. Had Hashem sent just the plague without foretelling it, then Hashem could not record the plague. Therefore, Hashem had Moshe Rabbeinu come to warn Paroi in order to be able to tell him which plague is going to come. And once he predicted the plague, when it comes through, you could record it. And like that, all of us will know that Hashem gave this plague. And this would answer another question which Mefarshim asked on the end of the Pasuk, because the Pasuk says, Uleman tesapre bazne vincho ven vincho, so you should tell the heirs of your son and your grandson, Esa sheselalta b'mitzrayim, that I made a mockery of Egypt, vesesosha samti bom, and my signs that I put in them, vidatem, means that you should know, not veyedu, that they should know. Ki ani Hashem, that I'm God, and Mefarshim ask, it should be written veyedu, and they will know, in other words, the Egyptian will know that I'm God. So the answer is that the message wasn't really for the Egyptians, because the Egyptians would know about the plagues even though it's not recorded. The reason that Hashem wants to do it this way is in order for us to know that Hashem is God, because by Hashem predicting the plague, now he's able to record it. Once he records it, now we are able to learn from that Hashem is the true God. Sefer Keren LeDavid says something very interesting. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu had to tell Paroi wasn't about the miracles, it was to tell him that Hashem has hardened his heart. This idea that Hashem could take away the Bechira from a person, and a person doesn't have free will, and he can't control even the thoughts of a person, that is something that Moshe Rabbeinu had to tell Paroi. And according to this, the statement that is written Come to Paroi, ki ani hirbalti az liboy, because I have hardened his heart, the slave Avodov, and the heart of his slaves. It's not to tell you the normal way that we explain, that it's explaining that Paro is not going to let you go because Hashem has hardened the heart, therefore you're required to give him another plague. The idea is that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Paroi that I have hardened your heart and the hearts of your slaves. I have taken away your free choice and you won't be able to say you want to send out the Jews until I actually give you permission to say that. Like the Rambam explains, that comes a time when a person is so evil that Hashem doesn't allow him to make tshuva, that Hashem hardens his heart. And this is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu now is telling Paroi, that you should know that I have hardened your heart and you won't be able to let the people out until I say that you will be able to say that you're going to let the people out. That Hashem could control even the innermost thoughts of a person, he takes away the free will of a person. That is what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Paroi, and that is the mockery that he did with Egypt, that he told them that I'm taking away your free will.
The Alshach explains that the mockery that Hashem did in Egypt came from the letters that is written on the matter of Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar explains that what's written here, Es asher salalti b'Mitzrayim, the mockery that I made in Egypt, Ves oisoisai asher santi bom, and the signs that I put in them, Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar translates, Ves oisoisai doesn't mean my signs, meet my letters from the letter Ot. Ot in Hebrew is a letter, so it's like it would be written oisyois, and my letters that I put in them. In other words, according to the Midrash, this is a staff that Adam HaRishon had, and then Adam HaRishon gave it to Noah, Noah gave it to Shem, Shem gave it to Abraham, it got to the hand of Yaakov, Yaakov gave it to Yosef, Yosef put it in the king's treasure, and Yisroel, when he ran away from Egypt, he took the staff with him and gave it to Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is the staff that was engraved in it, the 10 plagues, the Tzach, Adash, Bachav. So Hashem had to make these plagues come true, because Tana d'Eliyahu explains that the plagues came also for different reasons, and those reasons was required to be specifically 10 plagues. So Hashem made a mockery in Egypt by making him believe that Hashem cannot finish the job. Hashem made a mockery in Egypt because Hashem makes evil people think that Hashem cannot finish the job, or that Hashem had pity on them and because of their actions Hashem allowed them to survive. And he gives an example. We know there was a mockery of Oroif. Oroif is the wild animals attacking the sheep and the cattle. Had Hashem allowed the wild animals to kill all the sheep and cattle of Egypt,
then Hashem couldn't have given the next plague of Dever, of pestilence, because there was nothing to die. If all the animals had already killed all the sheep of Egypt, then there wasn't going to be anything left for the plague to kill. Therefore, Hashem saved certain animals from the wild animals in order to kill them during the pestilence, during the Makkah of Dever.
The same thing at Borod,
at the plague of hail.
Had Hashem not told the people that Ayored Var Hashem, that those who fear Hashem should bring the animals from the field, Hashem would not be able to destroy the chariots of Egypt during the crossing of the sea. As a matter of fact, Rashi says on chapter 14, Pasuk number 7, V'chol rechav Mitzrayim, that all the chariots of Egypt which Hashem destroyed by Yamsuf, the sea. Rashi asks a question, where did they get
the animals to pull the chariots?
Rashi brings down in the end, Mikan hoy Rab Shimon Oimer, Kosher Shebe Mitzrayim Haroik. the best, the fearful of Hashem in Egypt, that person you have to kill. In other words, those people who feared Hashem and brought their cattle in, they were spared from the borah, they were spared from the hail, their animals did not perish.
And they are the ones that gave the animals to Paroi to chase after the Jews. And through them, Hashem performed the miracle of the drowning of the sea.
And the same thing here. After the Makkah of Barot, Hashem allowed the wheat and the spelt to survive. The Egyptians thought that the reason that Hashem allowed it to survive is because Hashem had pity on them and Hashem gave them a way out. But in truth, the reason that Hashem allowed the wheat and the spelt to survive is in order to be able to bring the Makkah of Arba, the Makkah of locust, where the locusts are actually going to eat all the leftover that was left over from the borot, that was left over from the hail. As the Pasuk number 15 writes down, Vayochras kol esev oretz, that the locusts ate all the grass, Veskol prioetz asher oisid haborot, that any fruit of the tree that the hail did not destroy, the locusts took care of it. So Hashem is making a mockery in Egypt by making them believe that they survived a plague, but the only reason that Hashem let some remnants and let some survival is in order to bring another plague. The mockery is because Hashem has to put Oisyoisai,
his letters that were engraved in the staff, in order to give 10 plagues.
And in order to give 10 plagues, Hashem is required to make some salvation in other plagues, not to destroy everything in other plagues, in order to be able to bring the rest of the plague. So the mockery is that the Egyptians think that Hashem was kind to them, but in truth, Hashem wasn't kind to them. Hashem just gave them a little bit of reprieve in order to be able to give another plague and to destroy them completely.
Using this idea that the Alshach brings from the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, that the word Oisoisav does not mean signs. The word Oisoisav is meant to say my letters from the word Ot, which in Hebrew means letter. We could say that the mockery that Hashem gave in Egypt is the fact that he used the same letters that originally gave them a blessing in order to give them a curse. Meaning that if you go back all the way to Parshas Lech Lecha, on chapter 16, Pasuk number 10, there we have Hagar getting a blessing from the angel about the future of Ishmael. There it says, Vayomer Malach Hashem, the angel of Hashem said, Harba arbe ezareich, I will surely multiply your children, velo yisofer meroif, and they won't be able to be counted because of abundance. Just keep in mind the exact wording of the bracha, which is harba arbe zareich, that I will surely multiply your children, velo yisafer meroif, and they won't be able to be counted from abundance. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis 17b, the Gemara has there a discussion: if you repent after Yom Kippur, if Hashem will overturn a bad decree. Rabbi Yochanan says that if Tzibur, a community, repents even after Yom Kippur, even after the decree was already given, it's possible for Hashem to change that decree. The Gemara asks a question from this Beraisa. The Beraisa explains the Pasuk on Dvarim, chapter 11, Pasuk 12, where it says, Eine Hashem Elokecha Ba, that the eyes of Hashem are upon Eretz Yisrael, Mereishis Shana, from the beginning of the year, Ad Achris Shana, until the end of the year. So the question is, what does it mean that Hashem's eyes are on Eretz Yisrael all the time? So the Gemara there says that the fact that Hashem looks at Eretz Yisrael all the time is Itim Letoiva and Itim Lera. Sometimes it's going to be good and sometimes it's going to be bad. How do you see that it's going to be good? So the Gemara explains, let's say the Jewish people were evil people on Rosh Hashanah. And because they were so evil, Hashem decreed that they're going to have very little rain. And after Rosh Hashanah, they decide to do tshuva, they decide to repent, and now because of their repentance, they are deserving of more rain. To give them more rain, you can't, because Hashem already decreed on Rosh Hashanah that they're going to have less rain. So what does Hashem do? Hashem makes sure that the rain falls in its proper time on the land that needs it, and exactly on each blade of grass that requires it. And the Gemara continues that the opposite sometimes also happens, that Hashem's close supervision of Eretz Yisrael sometimes will cause to be bad. When will it cause to be bad? Let's say the Jewish people were tzaddikim gemurim, they were righteous people in Rosh Hashanah, and Hashem decreed that they should have a lot of rain, and after Rosh Hashanah, they retracted their ways and they started to do bad things. Now, to give them less rain, Hashem can't, because Hashem already decreed in Rosh Hashanah that He's going to give them a lot of rain. So what does Hashem do? Hashem makes the rain fall exactly where it's not needed, on top of rocks, on top of other things, and at a time that is not needed. The Gemara now asks a question to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that if Tzibur, if a community repents, Hashem tears out the decree even after Yom Kippur, even after the decree was signed, then how come Hashem keeps the rain the same? Why can't Hashem give them more rain if they repented? And the Gemara answers that Hashem would have erased the decree had he not have a choice. But since Hashem has a choice to maintain the decree and give a bracha through the decree that way, by him maintaining the decree that is going to be little water, and yet he gives the water exactly where it's needed, so Hashem is able to reward the Jews without changing completely the decree that he made, then Hashem will do it. But if it would have been a decree that it's impossible to make it a nice way, tshuva, repentance of a lot of people would have erased that decree. And the same thing would be true if the opposite would happen. If Hashem gave a bracha to something and that something messed up and turned out to be bad, Hashem will try to maintain the bracha's language as long as possible, but yet He will make sure that it turns out to be bad. Like the rains, that if Hashem decreed to be a lot of rains and the people were bad, then Hashem makes it a lot of rains to come where you don't need it. So it won't come a bracha, won't be a blessing from that rain, will actually be a curse from that rain. We see from that Gemara that Hashem tries as much as possible to maintain what He promised, that Hashem doesn't like to change the decree that He made. He keeps the decree, but sometimes He changes the outcome of that decree. Using this idea, let's now go back to our original pasuk, where Hashem gave a bracha to Hagar, saying that He'll surely multiply her children. We know from the middle of Parshas Vayera, on chapter 21, pasuk number 21, there it says, "Vatikach lo imo isha meretz Mitzrayim," that Hagar took a wife for Ishmael from the land of Egypt. So it comes out that now part of the land of Egypt comes from Ishmael. And Hashem had promised Ishmael that harbo arbe zarecho, that Hashem will surely multiply His children so much that you won't be able to count from abundance. So Hashem now decides to take these letters and make from this letter a mockery on Egypt, meaning that normally you would have thought that Hashem said that He's going to multiply your children, which is a bracha, which is a blessing. But now that the Egyptians were so bad, Hashem is changing that bracha of harbo arbe zarecho, that Hashem will surely multiply the children, and is making now harbo arbe zarecho, that I will bring a lot of locusts from the language arbe, which is actually the title of this plague of locusts. I will bring so much locusts over your children, asher lo yisofer meroiv, that you won't be able to finish counting. Hashem is making a mockery in Egypt here by changing the arbe, which means multiplying, to arbe, which means locust. Hashem decides that He's going to bring as much locust to Egypt as you cannot be counted. In the same way that we have seen that when the rain is supposed to come, Hashem maintains what He promised, that rain will come, but gives it in a bad way. So too here, Hashem has said to Hagar, harbo arbe, which normally is translated multiply your children, but since the children were not deserving, Hashem does not remove completely that promise. He maintains that promise, and now he makes a mockery. So he makes a mockery with the letters, that he uses the same letters that was originally given as a bracha, as a blessing, and he uses now the same letters to curse and to bring a plague in Egypt. And that's why this plague is a total mockery, because he's making fun by using the same letters. The Chasam Sofer gives a beautiful interpretation about the mockery, and he explains also how come only in the Makkah of Arba it's written the term that I made a mockery in front of them. The Chasam Sofer says that there is no greater mockery or greater disappointment or greater humiliation and greater recognition that Hashem is the true and only supervisor of the world than knowing that all your calculations and all your manipulations and all your shticks and everything you did in order to enhance your position, in order to engrander your life, ends up being for nothing. And everything was designed by Hashem in favor of other people. Meaning that we know that Yosef originally became a leader in Egypt because Paroi dreamt about the seven cows. And Yosef interpreted that it's going to be plenty and then it's going to be a famine. The only reason that they made Yosef to become a leader in Egypt is because Yosef is the one that is going to deal with the famine. He has the expertise to remove the famine in order that Egypt should survive. Part of Yosef's dealing with the famine was to save the food from the years of plenty to the years of famine. And Yosef not only fed the Egyptians during the years of famine, Yosef sold all the food to the neighboring countries, and that caused Egypt to become extremely wealthy. All the wealth from the surrounding countries ended up in Egypt. And the famine eventually caused Yaakov to come down with his sons to Egypt. And then Paroi sees that the Jewish people are so numerous, he decides to enslave the Jewish people. They become the laborers, they build towns, and that puts Egypt in a higher status by having so many slaves. But unfortunately for the Egyptians, all this situation changed when the plagues started upon Egypt, and specifically now, because of the Makkah of Arba, because of the plague of locust, the Egyptians realized that they came to the same situation they were before Yosef came there, and even worse. Meaning, Yosef came to prevent a famine and the Arba, the locust, by eating all the leftover vegetation, caused a famine in Egypt. The Egyptians realized that they were much worse off than before, because before the famine came on the first time in Egypt, the Egyptians enjoyed their own wealth. And because of the famine, Egypt received the wealth of all the nations. Now that the Jewish people are going to live as free men, not only is the famine coming back, but also they are taking the wealth, and not only the wealth that the other nations brought to Egypt, but Egypt's own wealth is going to be taken away now by the Jews. And the realization that all that happened to Egypt was only for Hashem to fulfill the promise that he promised Avraham Avinu, that Ger Yezarachu, that your children will be strangers for 400 years, and they'll be afflicted, be enslaved, and then they'll live with a huge wealth. That means that the whole existence of the Egyptians were only made in order to fulfill the prophecy that Hashem gave to Avraham about his children. That realization that the Egyptians are irrelevant and they are inconsequential, and their existence is only in order for the Jews to be able to fulfill their mission, and that realization came to the Egyptians through the Makkah of Arba, through the Makkah of locusts, because locusts put them back to the same situation that they were before any Jew came down to Egypt. That the Makkah of locusts, by causing the starvation, causing the famine, reminded them of the first time Yosef came down to Egypt, which he was elevated because of the famine. And now they realize that everything that happened to them is of no consequence, because they are no better off than they were before. And the Chasam Sofer continues and says that what is written at the end, Vidatem ki ani Hashem, so that you may know that I'm Hashem. It doesn't say Veyedu, so that the Egyptians should know that I'm Hashem. Vidatem is meant that the Jewish people should know that I'm Hashem. So he explains that during the 210 years of enslavement, there were people born and there were people who died. So those people never really saw the salvation of Hashem, never saw the ultimate mission of Hashem. But nonetheless, here at the end of 210 years, everybody could see clearly what Hashem had in mind. And now everybody, even the Egyptians, realized what was the purpose of these 210 years, what was the purpose of the enslavement, what was the purpose of the enrichment, what was the purpose of the famine. So everybody realizes what is the ultimate that Hashem wanted at this point. So a person has to know that in the future, even though he doesn't understand why he's going through troubles, but he has to know that Vidatem ki ani Hashem, you have to be aware that Hashem has a design and he is part of that design, and his purpose for you may not be known by you now, but eventually when the time comes, Hashem will disclose for everybody the purpose of what you went through. And our mission in life is to enhance the service of Hashem, to continue to do his bidding and his mitzvahs, and we have ultimately to know ki ani Hashem, that Hashem is God and his Neman leshalem schar, that he's trustworthy to pay everybody the reward for his troubles and for his doings. And Hashem Yisburach should help that the same miracles that happened in Egypt should happen again, and we should all realize what our purpose is, and we should all see how Hashem is the true judge. We should continue in the path of Torah and continue to perform mitzvahs. If we do that, Hashem will bring Mashiach, will build the Beis HaMikdash, b'mehera b'yomeinu, Amen.